Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA/SIPC.
Good morning, America. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. Hope everybody's doing well today. Rocky was on a roll this morning. I came into the station like a little, trepidation here because he was rolling. I'm telling you, he got me all fired up and everything else. Hope everybody's doing well. Our phone number here is 860-464-9490. So if you're tired of my voice and you got a question, feel free to call in here to 94.9 News Now Radio. Thank you, John Fuller, for reminding me with this little note here. Thank you very much. My website's O'BrienRetire.com. If you'd like to go there and get my Retirement 10 Commandments or set up an appointment, feel free to do so. So last night, the scene was very striking last night at the Cumberland Farms in Westerly, Rhode Island last night, where after dinner, my bride and her dad, they wanted to go buy some lottery tickets. Well, they had to wait online for about 10 or 15 minutes. Literally dozens of people were lined up, despite the odds. Dream that the $1 billion prize could be claimed, or at least the fantasy was worth the price of admission. Really, when you think about it enough, isn't it all about the fantasy? What would you do with $1 billion? Yes. So that got me thinking this morning when I got into my office around 7:30 and started writing, because it's totally stream of consciousness. The latest thoughts pop on the page, and then you hear them, within reason, of course. But what would you do if you actually won the Mega Millions or the Powerball? What would you actually do? Well, number one, who would you tell? Okay? Because depending on who you tell, depends on everything else afterwards. Okay? And if you recall, there was a lady up, I think it was New Hampshire, and they were requiring her to give her name because she had signed the ticket with just her name and not the name of the trust. And she went to court and she won and got her privacy because she wanted to be able to go to the grocery store in her little town in New Hampshire and not be besieged by people. So, who would you tell? Now, there's the other dude, the dude that won, I think, $400 or $500 million down in Florida, young dude, mid-20s, maybe late 20s. He went on Facebook and announced it to the world. Not a good strategy. Okay, so who do you tell? Probably, my advice would be, call me, tell your spouse, but only if she or he can keep his mouth shut. And then from there on, I think you got to be very, very careful because, you know, people, yeah, the word will spread. You know who can keep their mouth shut in your family and who cannot. So who would we tell if we won? Number three, practical. What would you do with the giant check? So the check comes. What do you do with it? Okay. Now, I'm assuming it's in physical form. You can have it ACH, whatever. Well, the first thing you do is you put in your single joint account, whatever, if it's in the name of a trust. You set up the trust ahead of time, and then you claim the check. Sometimes I think you have up to 6 months in some states, but you better know the law ahead of time. That is for sure. Number four, would I have to move? This is a good question, okay? Can you move to a state with no state income tax, not have to pay Connecticut or Rhode Island or another state? These are really good questions, you know? So, and you have to really know what you're thinking about with that type of question and everything else. We have a caller on the line. We have Rocky. Rocky, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Dennis.
Good morning. How are you, brother?
I'm just driving home and I'm listening to you.
Yeah?
And I have a question, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
Would you be available this evening if I call you that I won the Powerball? Would you be able to take care of my needs as a winner?
Well, you can always leave a message because after 9, I will be dead asleep because the beagle wakes me up at 4 in the morning to pee. But
okay,
absolutely, Rocky, you got a guy. Don't worry about it.
All right, that's very informative.
But I have a question for you, Rocky.
Go ahead.
If you win Next Saturday morning at 8 a.m., will you be here?
I will be there to announce what we decided to do with a chunk of the money, which is going to be all good stuff.
Yeah.
I purpose in my heart, if I was to win such a huge amount of money,
yeah,
you would not believe how quickly we'll invest it for the good of others.
There you go.
Because we have to realize that whatever good comes to us is a gift from the God that put in motion the universe.
Okay, and Rocky. Rocky, would you continue to do your radio show?
I'm not sure about that. Yep. Maybe from a remote location, because well, no, Dennis, it's true. If somebody wins $900 million, the first thing I think they should do is that they have to have security.
Well, maybe John Fuller needs a partner too. We got to think here, Rocky. We got to think big.
Well, yeah,
yeah.
We'll go nationwide. We'll put Lee Elsie nationwide.
Lee Elsie
nationwide.
I love it. Thanks, brother.
All right.
Take care. See, it's interesting. All the assumptions are different, you know. Would you have to move? Would I move to save taxes or get away from all the crap? All right? Would you have? Would you quit your job or business? That's another question. Would you, if you had a big financial windfall? A lot of people, I probably estimate 80% would quit their job, but there would be a hardcore 20-30%, I think, would want their life to stay as it is because they liked what they did, whatever it was. Maybe you were a teacher and loved working with children. Maybe you were, had a job, a business that you love what you're doing. So it all depends. Would you have to change your phone number? I'm thinking pretty much you'd probably have to change your phone number. Once again, who'd you tell? What are the privacy laws of the state you won in? So those are one of the questions. And when do you go to claim the prize, and do they mandate your name be released to the public? So those are the questions. Another one, why is everybody being so nice to me? Well, especially my kids. That's pretty fun. And my in-laws. Well, anyway, you know, it's like anything else in life. You eventually have to have that family meeting and figure out how you're going to distribute things. If you're going to do it now, you're going to hold things in trust and how you're going to distribute things out. You need really good advice, depending on your state law and whatnot, to minimize taxation. Should I set up a trust? Good question. Some people say, by the way, what is a trust? All right, another good question. That's okay. I get that question a lot. What's a trust? How do I set it up? What does it do for me? What are the limitations? Does it cut me off from my money? Am I able to control my money? Blah, 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 blah. So there's a lot of good questions with that. And so we can talk about that down the line. So we're going to break in about a minute here. I just want to give you an update. If you would like to set up an appointment to sit down and ever chat, you can do it by phone. My phone number at the office is 860-415-9614. You can also email me at dobryan@ifgrr.com, or you can go to my website, www.obryanretired.com, ask for my retirement 10 commandments, and then you can also set up an appointment if you'd like. If you do come in, bring in your statements if you can, and we'll start reviewing things and see where you're at that point. We'll be back in a few minutes with the Retirement Life and Investing Show with Dennis O'Brien. Talk to you in a few. Thank you. Welcome back to the Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 Now News Now. This is Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. So anyway, we were talking about the scene outside Cumberland Farms last night in Westerly, where there were mods of people running in to get their Mega Millions ticket. I guess the prize was up to $1 billion. Apparently nobody won, so let the madness continue. I feel sorry for the clerks at the convenience stores in the nation, because they are going to be working a lot harder for the same amount of money. So anyway, if you won that money, what would you do? And we had talked about who would you tell, where would you put the giant check, would you have to move, quit your job, change your phone number? Why is everybody being nice to me, especially my kids? Should I set up a trust? What is a trust? Here's the next one that popped in my brain this morning. Should I invest with my old college buddy who's pitching me a car wash? No. I'll tell you right now, do not do that, okay? You don't need partners. You might need a manager, but not a partner. He might need a partner, but you don't need a partner. All right, the next one. I like this guy on the radio. Should I call him? Yes, absolutely. But to Rocky's question, yes, I'll call you right away. Would you take my phone call that night? Absolutely. Who can I trust? Yeah, that's a big one. Who can you trust? How can I set it up just to spend the interest and dividends and let it grow over time? Now we're starting to think. Don't spend the principal. Yeah, now we're starting to think. Here's a good one. Will it spoil my children and grandchildren? And how do I stop that from happening? Oh, that's another good one. You know, the kids, grandkids, will they become waste products? Or will they have good, functional, meaningful lives defining something they love to do? Whatever. If they want to be a plumber, they can be a plumber. I met two very nice plumbers yesterday. Unfortunately, I did not want to meet them in the basement of my house, but I'll tell you that story a little bit later. Whatever it is, okay, you don't want to spoil the kids or the grandchildren. How will I know a good business opportunity when presented to me? Well, you're going to need some help with that if you don't have any experience in business, okay? This is my favorite, I think, of all of them. Can I still do my own taxes on the computer? No, you cannot, because when your net worth is over, say, $10 million or $50 million or $100 million, does that mean the IRS is going to audit me every year? Yes, they will double, triple check your returns. You better have superb tax advice, and you're going to have to pay for it, but that's just the way it goes, okay? How do I set up charitable giving so I'm not harassed every day? That's a big one. This is a lot of great organizations out there, a lot of great foundations, a lot of great 501c3 organizations that do wonderful, wonderful work. Okay? If my friend Melissa, who's Sundorian, comes to me for money for children's cancer, how do you say no to that? You can't. You can't. So you have to figure out a way to handle that in a professional yet respectful way. How do I keep my privacy? That's probably a very big one. Privacy is a big concern and everything else. Here's a good one. You'll like this one, Chris. How do I stop from becoming a miserable old rich person who's cynical and untrusting of everyone I meet? Right? Yeah. You see these people. You know, they might be very well off, but they're just cynical. You know, maybe family wasn't the best or they didn't handle it the best in terms of educating. They have become not maybe the nicest people in the world. You know, how do you stop that from happening? If I send my kids to schools where there are other rich kids, will my kids and grandkids become rich snobs too? Okay. Well, the assumption in that is that just because they go to a, you know, private boarding school, they become a rich snob. Is that true or not true? I don't know. But these are the questions you have to ask yourself if you have great wealth. Okay. Am I kind of bringing you down? You just wanted to win the darn money. You don't want to hear all this stuff, right? Here's a good one. How do I keep the work ethic I raised my family with? You got all this money. You don't have to work anymore. How do you keep your work ethic? How do you make sure your kids keep it and your grandkids? These are questions that, you know, great wealth entails. You see, many of the questions that are coming up aren't different from everyday people, maybe except for the, you know, the rich schools and all the business opportunities. But in the end, it comes down to values. Family, home, loyalty, hard work, keeping your word, surrounding yourself with good people. These are the values that are paramount, no matter what your net worth is or your fortune in life. I've seen people handle wealth in many different ways, and have many a time shook my head at the foolishness of some professional athletes, lottery winners, trust fund babies, young entrepreneurs as they squandered their good fortune. Looking for the quick buck, surrounding themselves with leeches and bloodsuckers who are gone the minute the money's gone. What's the first thing that should be done? Well, the first thing is you need a financial quarterback, someone to start coordinating things, and set up a financial family office to control and plan your family life. And I'm not talking about one of these big family offices, but even, you know, two or three people that are working full-time for your benefit or part-time for your benefit. A tax professional, an attorney, financial advisor, whatever, you know. But you need to set that up. Done correctly, you build a protective shield around you and your family that cannot be penetrated by the less scrupulous in our society. But even without great wealth earned, won, or inherited, there are some strategies to stand the test of time. Number one is values. Number two is family. Number three is God. Number four, love and belief in yourself. Number five, wisdom, which comes with time. So these are some of the thoughts that come with great wealth. It presents a different set of problems, and you're going to need help. You can't do it yourself. It's just the way it is. And people with great wealth, and I'll talk about one gentleman who recently passed, I think he handled it the right way and did a wonderful job for people. We'll talk about that. So I have a case study for you guys. It's ongoing, out of state. 30-year-old woman meets a very nice guy. Called me the other day, needs some advice. And frankly, I am puzzled and don't know what to do here. Okay? She meets a nice guy. He moves in with her to her house that she owns. And they share the mortgage and the expenses. But she calls. She says, I need to tap some equity to buy a car. And he's saving quite a bit living here. Okay? And his salary is much, much higher than hers. So she asked me for advice. What do you think? Okay? So my first advice to her was, you need to have the money talk. And she was like, I don't want to have the money talk. I go, you need to have the money talk. But she says, we haven't had the marriage talk or the engagement talk. I go, I don't care. You now are financial partners. If he lives with you in your house and you're sharing expenses, you need to have the money talk. But he might get offended. He might, but he'll respect you because he knows that, you know, you're thinking ahead and you got a good head on your shoulder, which you do. You have a very good head on your shoulder. So you got to have the money talk. Eventually, maybe she'll come around, pick up her bravery and go do it. Okay. But it's very, very important that they have that. Another thought came to me later. And once again, 860-464-9490. Chime in here because I'm not sure. This is kind of an interesting situation. Should they move? Should she sell the house? She's about 100 in equity. All right. Start fresh so she can keep her equity intact and he can pay his fair share of a rental place they get and start fresh at a new place. That's a thought. That's something that they should talk about. And maybe that's something that would be good for her to do. She'd have plenty of money for her new car if she needs it because she's commuting quite a bit all over the place. All right. So these are the questions, you know, people come up with, you know, she's 30, he's a little younger, they're both hardworking, he's a very talented, very nice guy from a very nice family, and you see their pictures and they're extremely happy together, and I know that. But when you move into with someone, you know, and this is not a roommate situation, this is, you know, a romantic situation, and you're not married and you're not engaged, either married or you're not married. Okay, then you need to have the money talk and start. Okay, what do you got? You know, show me yours, I'll show you mine. Okay, and they need to do that because sooner or later, if his intention is to get married to the girl and her intention is to get married to him, they need to have these talks. You know, and this is real life. This is real world. This is a real situation, and I'm kind of head scratching on it because I don't know. There's so much I don't know. And I don't know him at all, and I know her a little bit. And I was kind of surprised she came to me because, you know, but I was complimented, too, at the same time. But I think she was looking for wisdom or just someone to bounce ideas, concerns, and worries against. You know, that's fine. She's not a client, just a friend of a friend. So who knows? Who knows? But I think she, you know, she needs to have a come-to-Jesus moment with her boyfriend. Money is money and the basis for any partnership, good or bad. So make it good. If it cannot be good, then move on now instead of more heartache later. Okay? But you got to deal with stuff. Putting them in the closet, closing the door, dealing with them later. doesn't work with certain things. Love, money, you have to deal with it, face it up. And it's okay. He may be waiting for you to say something because you've been the leader buying a house, you're a little older. He may be waiting for you to lead, okay? So we'll have more talks, and eventually, you know, she'll feel comfortable enough to do whatever she has to do. So these are the things that I see day to day. Sometimes the answer is not a pop-up answer and then go away, you know, please go away. It's not like that. Sometimes you have to, you know, just learn as much as you can and try to help as much as you can. But I have a good feeling it's going to eventually going to work out because these are two very high quality, good, good people with good values that I think genuinely love each other. And I think he might be waiting for her because she's a little younger to show the leadership. And sometimes the gal don't want to show leadership. She wants him to show the leadership. But, you know, it's okay to help out each other in terms of that because he's still maturing, you know, and she's maybe a little further along the way in terms of that type of maturity and thinking ahead. Okay, but he is so talented. So I hope things work out because he's like genius level, this guy. But maybe real life level, he needs her to help him with that sort of thing. So very, very interesting. If you'd like to chime in anytime, feel free to call in at 860-464-9490. We're going to take a break. If you'd like my Retirement 10 Commandments or make an appointment, just go to www.obrienretired.com and hit the button. And we'll chat next week and see if we can get you in the door and see if we can help you. This is the Retirement Life and Investing Show with Dennis O'Brien. We'll be back in a few minutes. Thanks. Dennis O'Brien with the Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 News Now. Our phone number here is 860-464-9490. Hope everybody's doing well. A little chill. I hope the rain's passed. I think it's supposed to be a little sunny later on today. A new client recently sent me a large check and asked if we had invested yet. I said no because rates have been climbing and waiting for the Fed to stop with the rate increases. The Wall Street Journal had a big article saying today that the housing market is starting to really slow down because of higher mortgage rates. Mortgage rates, I think, on the 30-year, 4.75, 5. And that's a big jump. That means your monthly payment and not as millions of people, less people qualify for mortgages if compared to when the rates were 3.25%. So could be a great opportunity to lock in some great yields when this slowdown becomes apparent. Maybe the Fed makes an announcement they're backing off. But if I'm going to go out and take more risk on the higher yielding areas, I want to make sure that we are not taking too much compared to the yield we're going to get. So it's something that it's a different approach. It could be a great opportunity, but we have to wait and see and be patient. You know, product pushers, they do not care. They would have sold you by something and moved on. But I don't operate that way. I manage the money. I really entail. Sometimes it means waiting, you know. Sometimes I'll just buy very short-term U.S. Treasury ETFs, you know, get my 2 to 3% and wait with minimal risk. There's some risk in everything, but this is very, very low risk compared to the higher yielding end of the curve. So I like to wait and see. I also have some new accounts coming in that are inheriting money. You know, there's a big shift from the baby boom generation. They're starting to inherit money, and they're also, unfortunately, passing away, and they're going to leave money to kids and grandkids and whatnot. Sometimes when somebody inherits a lot of money and they never had any money before, they can be a little bit erratic. And what I mean is they don't know what they're doing yet. They don't know, you know, and the worst thing is if they tell people and then they're getting all this bad unsolicited advice and whatnot. And my attitude toward them is let's buy some short-term U.S. Treasury be real conservative and then go out and get a little more income. And then if I see you're not going to be a spending fool with the money, okay, then I'll invest maybe eventually in some growth in some millennial stocks, okay? But I have to wait and see if you're going to be a fool, okay? Because some of them inherited and it's gone in a year, year and a half because, well, it's just a burning a hole in their pocket. That's just the way it is and whatnot. So I think these clients are pretty good. They came to me and said, we don't want to be a fool and we want you to yell at us if you think we're being a fool. And then when I say yell, I don't really yell, but I do tell you what I think, you know. Because the bottom line is that you want someone who's a sycophant, somebody just yeses you to death, or you want somebody to tell you what they think. If they think you're doing something wrong, tell you. Ultimately, it's your decision, all right, if you're going to be a fool. But I'll tell you if I think you're being a fool. Guy came in one time, and he was in his early, mid-60s, and he bought a big house and added a big mortgage, and then he bought an office building and big mortgage. And he's a really good business, really good cash flow and everything else. And he's talking, and I'm just like, I'm wincing, you know, like someone punched me in the kidneys, you know. And he goes, what do you think? And I go, oh, well, I would have yelled at you. And he goes, yeah. He goes, I know. He goes, but let's attack the debt as quickly as we can and get it paid down. And you have the cash flow to do it if you're not a fool and keep buying stuff. He goes, okay, let's attack the office building first. Okay, let's do it. So we're going to attack that, hopefully have that paid off in 3 years, and then we're going to attack the debt on the house and get that hopefully paid off. And hopefully, he goes to me, hopefully I'm not dead before that from working so hard. I go, you know what? You know, at least you have a goal in mind, and the stuff's liquid, and you can always sell and downsize and do something else. So, and he just looked at me and goes, you don't know my spouse. And I go, no, I do not. But sometimes you got to have the come to Jesus moment and say, listen, do you want me or the big house? You know, sometimes it's going to come down to how long you want to live, how hard you want to work, how much stress do you want in your life. So if you feel like you're working for the wrong reasons, too hard, then you got to have that talk, especially in your 60s, you know, the 70s. You know, you have to kind of even things out, you know. And so it's very important that you have that talk if you're working too hard. You know, and you feel like, not to say your spouse isn't working hard too. You know, maybe you two both have to have that chat and say, okay, what are we doing here? Why are we doing it? And is the stuff chasing after stuff that important to us? So that's always good. I believe in Saturday mornings, Sunday mornings, 15, 20 minutes, just where are we financially? How are we doing? Let's check. We doing okay? Any major issues coming up? And have that chat at least once a week. I know everybody's busy. I know schedules are crazy, but I think it's very, very important to have that. Okay? All right. One other thing. My water heater blew this week. I don't know if any of you have ever had a water heater blow in the basement. That's where ours is. It blew after 7 years with a 6-year warranty. You know, maybe it's just coincidence. I remember when water heaters lasted 20 years. We were up all night cutting out carpet, you know, and, you know, wet vacuuming the floor. Seal plumbing came, found a replacement, and got it done the same day. You know, the next morning they were here and they got it done and they were in and out, and we had hot water by 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It wasn't cheap, but we had hot water and we had a brand new water heater. But, I want to thank them for being as quick. You know, my bride is not happy with the manufacturer, and I almost feel sorry for them already because she's relentless. So get ready, Mr. President of the water heater company. And all. She is going to contact you and let you know what she thinks, and I'm glad she is because some people say it's planned obsolescence. I don't know. But if someone comes along with a better product in the water heater business, please, please feel free to let me know because I will tell everybody I can. I told them I don't want the same brand put in. And they said, well, I have propane gas, so it's very limited supply of the water heaters that use propane. But they assured me that this one will be a lot longer. So let's hope. When you open an account with us or anyone, I would stress that the most important thing you can do is set up an ACH automatic investing program, okay? Great. You put the 10, 50, 100, 200, whatever the amount of money is into the account, okay? But it's critical, I think, to put in an ACH automatic investing program too. It can be $100, $500, $1,000 a month, whatever. And I have some people doing $3,000 a month. Great, whatever. If that cash flow can handle it. But this works wonders over time, because eventually I'm going to invest the money, you know, for income, tactical, millennial, growth, income, whatever. We'll have those dividends interest coming in, plus your additional deposits coming in. It really puts the account on afterburners and really helps that account grow over time. So, and it takes care of you worrying about, am I saving enough? Because when it's done automatically, it's an absolutely beautiful thing. So it's incredible over time how your account can build up once it's on automatic savings mode. When you have $4,000 or $5,000 built up in cash from the monies coming in, we'll buy you another millennial stock. And over time, I think you can become wealthy, in my view. Remember, going to Cumberland Farms on a Friday night is fun, you know, especially on the night of a billion-dollar lottery. But have a plan B, too. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love to buy a few lottery tickets when the amount goes up, and we all talk about, what would you do? What would you do? And, you know, hence the first part of the show, what should you really do? You know, but I think it's very, very important to plan out and do the automatic investing if you open an account. I'm almost not insisting, but I'm almost like, would you like to? Would you like to? Would you like to? You know, and that's probably the only time I'll get really salesy on you. But that's for your benefit, not mine. I think it helps you over time. So I'm rarely, really pushy. But when I think it might help you, I get really, really pushy. Okay. So how much time we got left? A minute? 1 minute? Oh, I just want to let you know, today we're having a Jack and Jill baby shower for my son and his daughter-in-law. Looking forward to seeing everybody. We're going to... I never heard of a Jack and Jill baby shower, but I never went to a baby shower before, but I'm pretty excited. I think it's kind of cool, actually. Everybody can go. And I'm looking forward to seeing their friends. And, of course, her parents came up. They live in Florida, and her mom came up. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And if you'd like my retirement 10 commandments, go to www.obrienretire.com or call 860-415-9614. And we'll get those to you. Or if you'd like an appointment, we never charge to help you plan your future. We'll talk to you in a few minutes. Thank you. With the Allman Brothers, brothers and sisters, Jessica. I always meet a girl, I always ask her, was her dad an Allman Brothers fan? Because you never know, that's how she got her name. Hope everybody's good. This is Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 News Now with Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, www.obrienretire.com, on Facebook, O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. If you sign up for our page on Facebook, And like us, you will get a post every day concerning finances and whatnot. And a lot of people say they really like them, so I'm glad to hear that. The Mystic Film Festival is going on as we speak. We went to the show Friday night. Great movies. Yesterday, Friday at 2, was a really good movie. The Sway Lake, really, really neat movie. It's going on as we speak. The crowds have been good, and the movie's excellent. Go to mysticfilmfestival.com to check the schedule if you like to see. And I really like the fact that they're doing a lot of New England documentaries, stuff that's local from local people, but not just that, and also a nice international flair to it, too, also. Dave Carruthers, also a friend of mine, dropped off some brochures for anyone who'd like to donate their car for charity. Mostly single moms trying to get to work, go to almosthome.com or call 860-245-0222 and ask for Dave. If you have a car and you want a tax deduction by the end of the year. So if you got an old beater that still runs pretty good, you can get a nice tax deduction, and you'll probably make out just as well as we went to car dealer and just give you a nominal amount for the car anyway. And you get the psychic satisfaction of knowing you've done something really, really nice. Dave Crothers is a wonderful guy. And Almost Home does the great job helping place homeless into houses and get them jobs and a car. Because you don't have a car, it's tough to get to work around here, as you may know. So it's very, very interesting. The Trucker Association has filed suit with the feds against Rhode Island and their new tolls aimed at just the truckers on I-95. The truckers are expected to win, which will mean everyone will have to pay. Sneaky Rhode Island, it's coming to Connecticut. Will it help our homes if these tolls come to Connecticut and they say, oh, it's just for truckers? They know full well that if the truckers sue, the feds are probably going to say, no, you just can't aim it at truckers because it goes against interstate commerce provision in the Constitution, blah, 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 and it has to be for everybody, and then Connecticut will go or Rhode Island will go. Oh, we didn't realize that. They fully realize it. And they know the game plan, and don't be fooled by it, okay? Bottom line is, will it help our homes appreciate the 30% we've lost since 2012 against other states' appreciation? I do not think so. So vote for the candidate that will help your home values. My son commented yesterday when he came back home for the Jack and Jill baby shower that he surprised how many of his UConn and Fitch friends are now working in New York City near him. It's a darn shame that there are not enough opportunities here in our home state for these kids. So, please, we need to get our state going. Condolences to the Paul Allen family. If you recognize that name, Paul Allen was the co-founder of Microsoft, who in the last 30 years built up a wide group of holdings through his family office called Vulcan Holdings. I suspect he was a Star Trek fan, as I was growing up. He never married. He had no children. And a net worth of, they say, approaching $25 to $30 billion, whatnot. No, you're not related to him. Sorry. Bank stocks have been very, very weak, and I'm looking to buy them. Biotech looks very good to me also. I'm waiting to buy into the income areas. REITs have fallen. And very nice yields on some of these REITs. The current yields on some of the indexes and individual REITs are approaching 11%. So if you think the Fed's going to back off, I'm telling you, you can catch a little appreciation. They've come down in value, but you know and I know everything. Every dog has its day, and sooner or later, they're going to bottom out, and these yields will be extremely, extremely attractive. Okay, so if you're really nervous, and I talked about this before, and you want to get out of the bank, but you don't want to lose any money, then come to me and give me a ring. We'll buy you some short-term U.S. Treasury indexes and wait for the turn. You'll get about 2 or 3% with very little risk. You'll have some risk in anything, okay? And anybody tells you no risk, Bernie Madoff 12%, they're lying, okay? So don't be a fool. You get nothing for free in the markets, okay? But the risk is very, very small compared to most things. That's why I'm telling you to take a look at them. At least you'll get more yield on the bank, okay? And then the most important thing about these U.S. Treasury short-term indexes, 2 to 3% now, but they're liquid, okay? So if we want to sell them and lock, go and chase the 9, 10, 11 in the higher-risk areas when we think the Fed has had enough, done enough damage to the economy, we can go do that, okay? Because once again, there's no products here. This is like thinking and making decisions and using your brain. What a concept, you know? We can actually use our brain to invest. Try it. You might like it. Okay? Will you be right all the time? No. But if you use your brain and we use them together, chances are we're going to be more right than we're going to be wrong. Okay? So have some confidence. You can do this. There's no reason why you can't. Another comment. And I ran across this week because people come in with these packaged products. And I look and I go, who's the broker dealer? And I never heard of this broker dealer, or they disguise it. Don't you love how insurance companies own companies with financial advisors, but disguise the fact that it is their own distribution company? And sometimes they put a different name on it, or they use first letter abbreviations. It took me a while to figure out who are these people? I never heard of them. They want to push their products, But they don't want you to know it. This is what I suspect. So they, you walk into this office, financial advisor, you think they're independent, but they're just an arm of this insurance company or big financial firm, but you don't know it. At least Merrill and Morgan and the others, you know, are upfront about, hey, this is who we are, not disguising who they're owned by, you know. I think it's disgusting. I can't stand it. And it's amazing how for every problem you have, they have a solution. And it's their product. You know, it might be this, it might be that, it might be whole life, permanent life. They give it different names, but it's still a crappy investment. And so, you want to buy term insurance, buy term insurance. Okay? I mean, you can buy it very, very inexpensively now, unless you're much, much older, then it gets very expensive. But that makes sense, okay? There's nothing, there's never something for nothing, okay? Also, it came up this week, too. If you're recently divorced, widowed, or you've remarried, make sure you do a beneficiary check on all your accounts, including pensions, IRAs, 401ks, bank accounts, TOD accounts. All these accounts, you got to check your bennies, especially if you got divorced, okay? Your 401k, your IRAs, your bank accounts, maybe in joint names still. Come on, guys, you got to get with it. I know you're not 100%. I know you're still in pain. You went through it. But you got to deal with changing your bennies, okay, and getting that done. Getting that done. I've seen major heartache in that area where people let it go, and then something happened. And lo and behold, you know, I told you the story probably a few months ago. Young soldier, you know, he forgot to take his father off there. His new bride got nothing. The father was turned out to be not a nice man, bragging about all the money. His son must have really loved him and left his young bride with a baby, with nothing. And the father didn't share a penny. So that's a horrible story. But I hate to say it, but, you know, these things happen, especially young people. They're not married yet. They're given this life insurance. They don't know who to make Benny to. This is usually they'll make it to their parents. So, and everything else. So, also, if you remarry later in life, all right, you got divorced later in life, you remarry in your mid, late, early 70s, mid 60s, late 60s, whatever. Okay, you got adult children now. Okay, so you need to make sure that these adult children are protected and cared for versus, you know, you have to work out things out with, because maybe your new bride, your new husband, and you both have adult children. You need to make sure those assets are dedicated to the children if that's what you want to do, and that there's no undue influence going on with mom or dad's, you know, finances. So I've seen those cases too, where there have been major, major problems because the planning wasn't done ahead. And sometimes I run into a couple, they just got married, I go, have you done this, 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 and this? And I get the blank looks across the desk, and I go, you guys need to start talking and everything else. And it gets really complicated with Social Security, too, because, you know, maybe you got your first husband passed, you're getting his Benny, the widow's benefit on him. And then what you don't realize is that when you remarry, you also will get the higher benefit of your two, and you have to give up the widow's benefit if it's lower than the second marriage remainder benefit. So it gets very, very complicated with Social Security, too. So go to the Social Security office and talk to them. And if you get the sense you're not talking to the right person, go back again and again and again until you feel like you're talking to the right person. So these are things I see. Just want to give you a heads up, okay? You know, we can prevent. I can prevent 95% of the errors you're going to make. The only thing I cannot correct or prevent, if you are a fool with your money, if you're going to spend your money, I'll just shake my head. But that's, you know, free to be a fool with that stuff like that. Now the markets are still correcting, okay. You know, I talked about the buy-sell ratio and everything else. It got down to 0.1, which meant for every one stock, there were 10 negative, okay? Got up to 0.29, backed off this week to 0.16. So we're correcting again. And many times you get that double or triple dip. But bear in mind, almost every time after midterm elections, a market takes off. I'm not saying it's going to happen this time, but history suggests that after midterm elections, we could have a huge rally. And I think maybe if you've seen the headline in the Wall Street Journal about the housing market slump deepening, that the Fed may be looking, going, okay, maybe we'll ease off for a year or two or 6 months, whatever. If that happens, the Fed makes that thing, and with the midterms being elected, we could blast off. So be ready for that if it comes, because we are very, very oversold according to the buy-sell ratio. Guys, have a great week. If you'd like to make an appointment or chat, go to O'BrienRetire.com or call me at 860-415-9614. I'm off to the baby shower. See you later. Bye.